I'm Jeannie Hankin, and on a recent Thursday morning, I was asked to talk about my community for Lady Sunday. I said I'd give it some thought, which kind of meant no. I was uncomfortable because talking about my community in my mind would mean that I would have to give some backstory, and I just didn't know if I was up for it. I'm a bit of an introvert, a bit shy, and in general, a very private person. Yes, until today. The next morning, I opened my book study for my Bible study group called Unafraid, Living with Courage and Hope in Uncertain Times by Adam Hamilton. The first chapter of the book was led by the following sentence. There are two basic motivating forces, fear and love. All hopes for a better world rest in the fearlessness and open-hearted vision of people who embrace life. And that was said by John Lennon. Well, I laughed because I'm a Beatle fan still. And my favorite Beatle was John Lennon. God surely knew how to reach me. So I texted back and agreed to do this. So, in 2009, I was 56 years old, a special education teacher in New Jersey, married for almost 28 years to my husband, Bob, with a son, Jimmy, still in college, another son, John, who was a researcher at Rutgers University. We're in the middle of walking through life with many plans for our retirement future. At the end of my school year, Bob and I took a short trip to Las Vegas to see the Cirque du Soleil show, The Beatles, Love, of course. During our stay, Bob told me about a symptom he was having. I gasped and exclaimed, "Bob, you have to go to the doctor." Many of you, I'm sure, can relate. We came home, and he did go to the doctor and was diagnosed with bladder cancer. The protocol was to have chemotherapy, then surgery to remove the bladder. Even while the chemotherapy was going on, the cancer continued to grow. We went to Sloan Kettering in New York City for an operation to remove the bladder was begun. Soon the surgeon called me into an office to tell me he could not continue the surgery as the cancer had caused the bladder to attach to the pelvis. I was stunned. I asked, "What do we do now? What are his chances?" I was told, "Look for alternate treatments," that his chance of survival was about 3%. Never told Bob that part. There seems to be a continuum of bladder cancer, like 1 to 10. Bob was at least a 12. It was really bad. Bob fought the good fight for almost 2 years. During that time, we made plans, talked about life, loved each other and our sons. Bob decided that he wanted to die in Florida, where we owned a condo. So while he was sick, we sold our house in New Jersey, packed up, and moved to Florida. See, I was willing to do anything to let Bob be where he wanted to be. There was really nothing else I could do. When Bob left Shands for the last time, as there were numerous hospital stays and treatments and whatnot during these times, and I always stayed with him, we came home from Shands the last time with Vitas Hospice. I knew that throughout this trial, God was quietly at my side, giving me gifts delivered by my New Jersey friends long distance, doctors, nurses, and angels that live in everyday life. Bob was not particularly spiritual, but he did live a spirit-filled life. He asked for a chaplain to visit. And that chaplain was Laura Berg. She is the first and only person in Florida who ever actually met Bob. Along with spiritual guidance, they talked about boating and such. On August 21st, 2011, at 62, Bob died, and God placed my hand firmly in Laura's. She stayed with me that day, the day that Bob died, until she was comfortable that my sons were on their way. Since it was a Sunday, Vitas was closed, so Laura asked her husband, Ward, to come and take away all the health care paraphernalia. So on the day Bob died, I met Ward Berg, who has also become a wonderful friend to me. Anyway, God had plans for Laura and me. We have become dear, dear friends, sharing in a deep and enduring friendship. I lost my husband, but received the gift of lasting friendship and love. Besides Laura, and I'd only known her for a week, I knew absolutely no one in New Smyrna Beach, as I was his 24/7 caregiver. Eventually, I came to call my caregiving time a different kind of love story. When he died, I grieved profoundly the loss of my husband, my partner, my friend, my son's father, and the other half of me. But at some point, I realized that I had to figure out how to move forward since I was still here. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Let the Spirit change your way of thinking." I remembered that God can be a verb. I decided that I would share love through service to others. I was no longer going to think of myself first. The Center for Action and Contemplation, where Richard Rohr is a teacher, has a saying, "You cannot think yourself into a new way of thinking. You must live yourself into a new way of thinking." So I drove up to the Marine Science Center in Ponce Inlet, where I began to volunteer. 8 years later, this group of people and the animals we rehab is my nature family. I take great comfort working with sea turtles and octopuses and young people who are so committed to the care of God's earth. I met Phil Plunk at a Tuesday night dinner, was so moved by his talk about Saluti Paz, I felt called to serve there. I have been serving in Guatemala yearly since. Community with the Mayan people is not about talking, since I don't speak their Mayan dialect, but sharing love by working side by side. Providing scholarships to school children there seals the covenant through witnessing their successes in school. I also am able to follow the progress of Lorena, the young lady who we helped through nursing school, and Jeff, the young man who is currently studying to be a teacher. Laura introduced me to Bobby Wilson, with whom I prepared meals on Sunday nights at Edgewater United Methodist Church. I'm still preparing meals now with our new Colors of Hunger at the United Church of Christ. That is a labor of love community. I delight at the pleasure our diners take while being served a hearty meal in a clean, comfortable setting. I relish the loving commitment my community of food preparers offers me. There is a joy in the intimacy of folks working together. To me, it is a prayer of love. I serve as a CCV and a CCM, visiting the homebound, elderly, and those recuperating. I serve Connect on Sunday. I co-facilitate the grief group here at Coronado, where deep bonds are formed while folks journey through grief. On Sundays, after the 9:30 service, I join a group of people who share brunch together around town at different restaurants. We are so comfortable with each other that we could probably place each other's orders. This is a gift. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." I belong to a Bible study group of women who learn, comfort, guide, hold each other accountable, provide a safe place to share anything we need to share and everything we need to share. The moment I greet each other person there, I feel deep love for the women in the group. An amazing covenant community. I serve food at a food pantry at Edgewater United Methodist Church, where by way of food received through Second Harvest and others, we help people to retain their homes and dignity as they get a week's worth of groceries from us. We also share food with the homeless from tent communities around town as well. It is a loving feeling to share the gratitude these folks have for our service to them. Sometimes I feel as though I'm looking in Jesus' eyes when I hand them the bag of food through the window. Mission trips to Cuba help me to share God's love through relationship. I spend powerful, prayerful time with these people and clergy in Cuba. We share their joys and sorrows, and they share mine. They have become an extended family to me. Mentor at the New Smyrna Beach High School, where I develop close relationships with students while they navigate their way through youth and school. Guardian ad litem allows me to serve lost children who have been removed from their homes. I provide consistency and constancy by visiting and helping to assure the system meets their needs. The last couple of years, I've become enamored with the missions happening at Derbyshire Place in Daytona. The area and needs there often remind me of our brothers and sisters in Cuba. Poverty abounds there. Derbyshire is a Methodist mission community that provides 19 different services and missions for the young to senior citizens in the area. Programs develop organically as needed. I'm on the board there trying to find money to keep the program going. I have become a sister of the PEO, which is the Philanthropic Educational Organization. We are a sisterhood of women who provide scholarships, grants, and loans to women from many different walks of life. There, I find a covenant community of many different women with a like mind to help other women succeed. And finally, later this week, I will take the walk to Emmaus, where surely my community will grow again. I've learned from Richard Rohr that everything belongs, and everything is both and, not either or. It has opened my heart to so many opportunities without judgment. It's freeing and a healthy way for me to live happily as I can here in Florida on my own. Finally, Colossians 3:14 says, above all, put on love, which is the perfect band of unity.